Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm delighted to introduce our guest today, Marco Barozzi, the founder of Expo Consulting with over three decades in the exhibitions and events industry. He's also the author of the book, Event Marketing at Your Fingertips.
And exhibitions organizers, as I said at the beginning, I think sometimes and still, in my opinion, are still too much, you know, focusing on the square meters, on the space, you know, and not on the value of what they are giving. And obviously, as you can easily prove, I guess, and things are changing. I mean, because companies are not or do not want just to have a booth in a show. I mean, they want to have something value. I mean, they want to have an experience. They want to have, and especially still, they're talking about their obsession, which is the ROI, you know, their ROI. And because they have their boss or they have their commercial director, I mean, come into them and say, hey, I mean, what are the results of the show?
Marco Barozzi is the founder of Expo Consulting with experience of over three decades in the exhibitions and events industry. His journey began with key roles in prestigious companies like the Blenheim Group, Miller Freeman, and Reed Exhibitions. Later, he founded Expo Consulting, helping organizations succeed in the complex and dynamic world of trade shows and events. Over the years, he has collaborated with numerous public institutions, SMEs, and event planners, sharing his expertise in trade show promotion, marketing strategy, project management, and exhibitor training. As the country manager of Fira Barcelona for the Italian market until 2022 and a faculty member of ICE and ITA, he mentored numerous businesses and individuals, helping them navigate the intricacies of the event marketing landscape. When not immersed in the world of events, Marco enjoys traveling, reading, listening to music, and spending quality time with family and friends. Marco says that these experiences inspires and fuels his curiosity for discovering new ideas and perspectives. Now, on to this insightful episode with Marco Barozzi. Marco, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm delighted to have you on the show and talk about your book on event marketing and actually dive into how events are evolving and how paying attention to many of the topics in the book will actually make organizers produce better shows.
Yeah, so Venyan, hi, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your work so people get the context of who I'm speaking to and why I have invited you to my show.
Okay. For those who do not know me, well, I think they are many, honestly. But, you know, I've been working in the exhibitions and events industry for more than 30 years. You know, I set up my company in 1997. And, you know, I also worked with the prestigious international exhibition organizers. And obviously, when I started my job in when I set up my company, the objective was to help, you know, small and medium companies, but companies in general. I mean, to understand, to better understand and participate and maximize their participation in exhibitions and events. I think there is a little education today in terms of event marketing, as I call. You would be surprised to know that when I am coaching, you know, event marketing, most of the people do not actually understand, you know, the definition, event marketing, even in Italian, and I have to explain, you know. So this is something which you know, in a way surprises me, but it also makes, stimulates me, incentivizes me, you know, to, you know, to explain and obviously make people better understand what we, what event marketing is, what participating in a show is, etc. Then, I mean, apart from working with exhibition organizers and small and medium size companies, but not only those, you know, I also studied a consultancy job, coaching, you know, because I work with association institutions like the Italian Trade Agency, for example, as you've probably seen in my profile, LinkedIn profile. So I think this was like, especially in the second part of my professional path, it was like a priority objective, you know, because I understood that in spite of the fact that people and companies were participating in events, in trade show, in exhibitions, I mean, they were not clear about, you know, what they were actually, what they wanted to achieve, you know. So, and, you know, too many companies today, I think they still approach trade show with enthusiasm, but with little structure, you know, and maybe too many organizers still focus on filling, you know, spaces rather than creating value. You know, I think this is obviously changing, but that was a reason why, also it was one of the reasons, you know, for writing, you know, my book. But it, I think this was, you know, something that I noticed, and especially when I attend you know, sessions or meetings where, you know, there are other people speaking and telling me about, talking about export internationalization or, you know, trade fairs, etc. So I always get a little bit amazed, you know, by the way they explain, you know, the exhibition and events industry, you know. So this was also one of the reasons why I started my, you know, coaching in you know, this was like a matter of education, honestly. So, I mean, along this long path, you know, I'm also, you know, consulting and advising. I'm advisor to exhibition organizers, apart from, you know, just as I told you, you know, small and medium enterprises. So I think this has become sort of a really priority for me. And I also teach English, just for your information, you know, here in Italy. But this is something I think, coaching, teaching it's something that I think I have in my DNA. And that's probably the stimulus, you know, that, for me, sure. You know, because I started, being an event marketer, I was a teacher, you know, then I left, and then, you know, maybe it seems that I'm going back, you know, to what was my, you know, my previous passion, so to speak, you know. And obviously, as you can easily understand, exhibitions and events, trade shows, are my passion. I'm passionate. And people notice that. When I have my coaching session, I mean, people notice the passion, you know, I'm using, you know, and I'm talking with them and explaining or trying to explain, I mean, the complexity sometimes, you know, of the exhibition industry, the exhibition business, you know, it's not always easy. And I understand, you know, because I've been an exhibitor myself in the past, and I know how difficult it is.
Let's start at the top. Why do you think event marketing is so often an ignored practice? I mean, people somehow talk very little about event marketing.
I think, you know, today, as I said, especially, I mean, if you talk about companies, they are, you know, very enthusiastic about participating in trade shows, maybe because it's also word of mouth. You know, for example, you you ask a company, why are you exhibiting in that country or in that show? And they say, you know, I mean, because my competitors are there, this could be one answer. Yeah. The other one is that because I heard the show is very good, or because we need to enter that market. But, you know, I think that once you do that and you have decided, which is not something, you know, in my opinion, easy to do, what it should be, I mean, what the choice of where, I mean, the show that you have to pick and to choose, you know, it's something that you have to be very careful about, because, you know, before entering the market, now, obviously, there are companies who, you know, the best structured company, you know, they can do it easily because they've been there for a long time. But when you talk to small or micro, small, and medium-sized, you know, enterprises, I mean, that's something that comes into discussion, you know, because maybe they haven't picked the right show. And they realize that after being there, they expected results, you know, and they've not gotten them, you know. So this is something I noticed. So enthusiasm, but no strategy, no strategy at all. And exhibitions organizers, as I said at the beginning, I think sometimes and still, in my opinion, are still too much, you know, focusing on the square meters, on the space, you know, and not on the value of what they are giving. Yeah. And obviously, as you can easily prove, I guess, and things are changing. I mean, because companies are not or do not want just to have a booth in a show. I mean, they want to have something value. I mean, they want to have an experience. They want to have, and especially still, they're talking about their obsession, which is the ROI, you know, their ROI, and because they have their boss or they have their commercial director, I mean, comment to them and say, hey, I mean, what are the results of the show? And you know what, I'm going to tell you an anecdote. One of the first coaching sessions I did was with the company. It was a very, you know, a company which was, I mean, let's say a small or medium company, because they had many, many, many employees, you know. So the thing was that they were participating in shows, but they wanted to do this, you know, coaching, event marketing coaching, because they were probably not doing the right thing, you know. So when I, you know, had this coaching, I met with the web community manager and two event managers, one for Italy and the other for you know, for foreign shows, you know. And they were telling me that their obsession was ROI, you know, because at the end of each show, I mean, the manager or the CEO came to them and asked, and especially guess the web community manager, I mean, who had to, I mean, report all the clicks and the conversion rates, you know, when this was like at the beginning, very, very difficult. I'm talking about, you know, many years ago. And so, but one of the things I said, you know, because you're telling me you're obsessed by, you know, you are obsessed with ROI. But okay, let me understand. When you go to a trade show, to an exhibition, I mean, do you set or fix objectives? And he said, no. And I said, listen, I mean, how can you prove or give, you know, information about a ROI if you don't set objectives? And he said, well, yeah. I mean, they realized, you know, that this was like a, you know, something that was absolutely, I mean, they didn't think about it. And then obviously the social media manager, web community manager said, I mean, it was difficult for her to prove, I mean, about, you know, the clicks and the click-through rates, et cetera, et cetera. And so I said, well, I mean, you have to clearly explain it to your management. I mean, that's very easy. I mean, it's not sad that all the clicks, I mean, that you do in the show, I mean, can convert in 2 days or 3 days. I mean, maybe you can have that client, I mean, becoming a client after 6 months. So this is something that you have to explain. So just to give you an idea of the fact that, and still today, I mean, when we talk about objectives, when we talk about follow-up, I mean, you can still, I mean, believe that, I mean, there are companies who do not follow up after the show. I mean, they just leave the everything there, the context, and forget, or maybe do that after a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, which means obviously they probably lost opportunities, you know? And so Jesus was just an anecdote to make you understand what's going on. And sometimes even with the exhibitions organizers, I when I was talking with them, they were explaining their strategy to me. I said, are you sure? This is the right thing to do about this campaign. Have you considered this and that? Have you considered social media? I mean, there are still, believe me or not, Subanyan, there are still companies and exhibition organizers who do not use social media marketing very, very much, which means they are, again, losing opportunities because, I mean, they're not, and maybe also their newsletters, if they want to, for example, increase their foreign participation, I mean, they're not getting to the right desk, you know? And so now, obviously, then one of the other things I'm doing, for your information, because I didn't mention it at the beginning, is setting up international sales network for exhibition organizers, okay? This means that I'm recruiting my job, you know, sometimes has been that or is that of recruiting agents or partners, let's say, I like the word partner better, to promote the shows in, for exhibition organizers in certain country or in a country, depending, I mean, what their requirements are. So, and also this is another point, you know, because I think collaboration today is, absolutely important. And most of the times I understand that because of the fact that maybe they are not, or they haven't been doing this. I mean, they're doing actually nothing, you know. So you have to tell them how or explain what is the potential behind that. I mean, if you have somebody in a specific country that you, want to target, you can use their local expertise and experience, to promote your show. Obviously, the big organizers are obviously well structured, and you have this very good international sales network, you know, they're using, but it doesn't happen at all levels, you know, and you have minor exhibition organizers who are not actually structured so well, you know. So that's also something that I'm thinking about also for writing another book.
So before we actually move on, I have questions for you on the book, but I want to quickly touch upon this point you just mentioned about people not following up.
Yes.
And this is not, you are not the first person who told me this. I have spoken to many people who have repeated this point that nearly 70% of exhibitors never follow up, or follow up too late, or follow up too generically.
Yes. Yes.
And I, when I'm trying to talk to exhibitors also, I somehow feel that they don't have a good answer, but they don't even know that they don't do it. What is actually going on?
Well, I don't know, man. Like you, I'm very, very much surprised, honestly. One of the things, well, first of all, I mean, there was actually recently a post by one of my colleagues and friends, Almer Kuro, and about this. Mm-hmm. And I think the rate he mentioned are correct. Well, I would also say that it depends on the region. It depends on the market. I mean, maybe they're not so high. Maybe in America or in the US are high, but in other countries maybe are not so high, depending. Maybe in Germany, I'm sure that they are, lower than and I think I also wrote about that. I responded, or I commented on his post. When you ask me what's happening, I think one of the reasons is, first of all, that when, a company or company staff, they go back to the office, either they leave this to somebody to do it, or maybe, I don't know if it's another person has not been in the show, or maybe it's an external organization agency. I mean, you have to do follow-up. But this is something I really do not understand, because in my coaching session, I obviously explained the importance of following up, and honestly, based on the feedback I have in Italy, apparently, you know, companies are doing that. I mean, not following up, but I don't know now the statistics. I mean, I can't give you a correct figure about the follow-up, right. But I think that there's still companies who are not doing that. And I think one of the most important reason is probably because they leave it to somebody maybe who's not, you know, is being instructed also. That's another point. It was not being fully instructed about what she or he has to do, you know, that or the right. importance of the follow-up, because following up is not just sending an email, you know, it's just, right. you know, yeah. you have to contact and sending an email. Maybe you can send a giveaway, a nice object, maybe with your with a email letter handwritten, for example. But it's something that you have to do, and you don't have to waste time, because I mean, I know, yeah. for example, companies that do this during the show or soon after, as I most of the time advise. I mean, leave that so much time. You should send an answer or follow up within 48 hours, maximum, 48 hours.
Right.
But I mean, not everybody does that. I mean, the most technological ones, they do this when the client has left their stand. You know, maybe they can say thank you for visiting us, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, I mean, they're different, but obviously, especially the small and micro, small companies, I mean, they still struggle with that.
Right, right. Let's go back to the book. I mean, you have written two chapters. One focusing on crafting the event concept and the other focusing on identifying the target audience, right? What is more critical? Is it the concept and the content, or first identifying the audience?
Both. I would say both. I would say both. Especially, I mean, if you are an organizer, for sure. I mean, the concept is absolutely critical, you know, key. But also if you are a company, I mean, you have to find the right reason for you, as I said, to participate. First of all, you have to choose, and then you have to fix the objectives. So, I mean, two different things, but both are critical in my opinion, both.
Okay. What would you say comes first? Is it the audience identification or is it the concept?
I think the concept comes first, especially if you are an organizer, in my opinion. I mean, the concept is first also because you have to determine, I mean, based on that concept, then you can figure out what your audience is. Okay. But then I think it's consequential. I mean, it's the right. second step that you have to do. But the concept, especially if you, I mean, run a show, I mean, that's very important. I mean, what is the concept of the show, and why am I? Well, that's a good question. I mean, I sometimes ask the companies, exhibition organizers, for example. The other day, I remember I asked a project manager, what is the why of your show? She couldn't tell. I'm sorry to say, but she couldn't explain correctly, the why of their show. And when you also, I mean, talking about companies participating, you know, exhibiting in the show, then sometimes if you ask them if they set the objectives, you know, they probably say, I mean, no. I mean, but they just, I mean, we're participating in that show because we have a friend who told us that that show was good in that market. This is what happened to me a long time ago when I spoke to somebody, and this is another anecdote. Subanyan, he was telling me, because you know what happened. I mean, we were promoting a show, and he was he sent the application form, you know, for exhibiting in the show. And so I then you know what happened after, I don't know, a couple of months, he sent me an email or he called and said that he wanted to cancel. Okay. And I said, okay, I understand, but give me the reasons, you know. And very, very openly, he said, you know, I'm canceling your show because I want to go to another one in Brazil. Okay, well, that makes sense. But I said, did you investigate the market? Did you, you know, make a research? Do you know? I mean, what, you know? No, he said, no, I spoke to a friend of mine and he said that that market is doing pretty well. And, you know, I said, look, I mean, this is not a good reason, but I'm telling you that if you cancel, I mean, you still have an invoice, I mean, that will be sent from the other exhibition organizers, so you probably have to pay. So you just make up your mind, I mean, if you want to cancel, but just for you to know that you will probably have to pay. But, you know, the reason why he was telling me that he canceled our show to go to another with no reason, without explaining the reason, save from the fact that a friend of a company, whatever that they know, I mean, said that it was a good market for them, you know. So this is just an example sometimes, you know, and you wonder, I mean, are we, especially us, you know, marketers, I mean, people in the business, are we giving the right information? Are we providing the good advice to them? And sometimes, you know, I'm still wondering. Sometimes maybe it's also our fault, and I insist on the fact that companies are lacking education in the exhibition industry. And I notice, this is good to know, that exhibition organizers are now more and more thinking and planning exhibitors' education for their shows. You know, so this is this is good news.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break,
every show, every trade fair, every exhibition should have a business match platform. Okay, and I understand sometimes exhibitors have problems in using that platform. And maybe you have to give them some assistance or support them in order to make them understand.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode.
Let's talk about engagement. I think you'd agree that, and you write you write about engagement quite in details about engaging attendees. When you think of ROI, and there's no two ways about the fact that ROI of this investment in events has to be determined. Now, when you think of ROI, the ROI is really coming from the audience engaging with the exhibitor. ROI is not coming from the audience coming to the content. They come for the content. But the content is really the sideline. That's not where business happens.
Yes, definitely.
Content is the bait which brings them in.
Correct.
But what you're really expecting is that they'll go to the floor and talk to vendors and give business.
Yes.
Yet it's a highly disorganized, or I would say gimmicky approach. You know, give away swag, or you know, have somebody, I don't know, have a clown or have coffee. But the fact is that proper engagement is the key to the ROI, which means if the exhibitor does not get return on their investment, they're not going to come back.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
So where, and we discussed a bit earlier about, you know, the follow-up piece, which is totally on the exhibitors, you know, responsibility, and they're not doing a very good job.
Yes.
Of doing it. Of course, there are exceptions, like you mentioned, people who follow up immediately after leaving the booth, people who follow up the same day, and so on and so forth. Yet, by the way, those people also, what they're doing is a very generic outreach. Thank you for coming to the booth. It is still not linked to the conversation that has happened at the booth. But we'll talk about that separately. My question is, what kind of engagement do you see happening, and why is it not hugely a focus of organizers and exhibitors alike?
Well, the first answer I could give you is because sometimes it's about technology, and I understand, and this also from exhibition organizers, I mean, I understand that sometimes exhibitors are not familiar. For example, when you talk about a business match for a show, you know, which to me is the most important thing today. I mean, every show, every trade fair, every exhibition should have a business match platform, okay? And I understand sometimes exhibitors have problems in using that platform, and maybe you have to give them some assistance or support them in order to make them understand. Not all of them, but I think this could be one of the reasons. The other reason is that, and I think this, because I, in my coaching session, I always have this photos, pictures, you know, of images of people in the booth, you know. It's because they go to the fair and just they do like, I mean, you see people, I mean, just playing with their phone, eating a banana, yeah. Or I don't know, or talking on the phone. And this, I mean, they do that without caring about people passing by. You know, so my question is, and I have, in one of my coaching sessions, I use a very, very clear picture, image of two people in the booth. I mean, one is just playing with their phone and the other, I think, more or less the same thing. And I also wrote a sentence there that this is not the way. I mean, this is the attention you give and receive, meaning that you have no attention. And that's probably one of the issues, you know, because if you don't pay attention, I mean, today, and I guess you know this, there are agencies who can, you know, help you, support you for, you know, in creating the engagement, you know, just, I mean, you have somebody in the booth or outside. I mean, you're just going to ask you a few questions to, you know, qualify you, because one of the important things is qualifying, you know. And so they ask you open questions and not just say, hey, come to my stand because it's beautiful. No, I mean, hey, are you doing today? I mean, your first time in the show, what do you think about this event? I mean, et cetera, you know, so that introduce, and then you can, you know, talk about the company, show them, I mean, whatever you want to show them, you know, but this is something, and it's a very, 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 how should I say, dangerous reason, I mean, for people to do that. I mean, it's sometimes I when I see people on the booth, and knowing that today we have all the technology available, I mean, even when you are at the show and there's no one passing by, I mean, you can still call maybe one of your clients and say, hey, I'm here. I mean, are you coming? Or maybe just take advantage of these, you know, moments, I mean, that you have. Well, obviously, if you need or you have urgency, you can just get into your stand and your booth. You have a private conversation. You can have your open, or you go out, or you want to smoke a cigarette or whatever, you know. But I think when you are there, you have to be fully focused, you and your team, you know. And so this is also one of the reasons why engagement is not so much, in my opinion, you know, that people struggle with that. Because also they are, you know, they're not, it's like, you know, having cold calls, you know, so you have to invite somebody to understand, but it's not that. I mean, you probably have to just show, you know, your smile. I mean, and then people invite them, you know, have a chat, etc. So I do this myself, because when I visit, I pass by stands and there are you know, people inviting me and said, okay, I mean, let's have a talk. I mean, if they want to, I'm not, maybe I'm not the right person because I'm doing other things. So maybe they don't want to hear what I'm saying because I do some other stuff, you know. But so I see some good examples, but most of the times I think engagement is still an issue for many companies.
You just mentioned a few minutes back that you are setting up actually an agency of
correct
people across the globe.
Correct.
So my question to you is, do you think that companies who participate in multiple events, which means there are companies who I believe get 60% of their lead generation happen at events,
yeah,
right? So companies who are participating, say, in one event every month or one or something like that, do you think they should have a completely different set of people who are booth selling experts and not try to bring in the regular salespeople into it and these experts will have the temp. It's sort of like cold calling experts, yeah, or inside, yeah, sales experts, yeah, or enterprise sales experts. I think it needs a different mindset and a different,
yeah,
skill set.
I understand what you mean. Honestly, I think if you have especially a big good events, should have agents, partners in in the markets that they consider important, right? I mean, this could be Europe for some organizers, and could be the whole world for big organizers like Creed, like Informa, they have. But yes, these, if you ask me if these people can replace the staff, I would say no, because people from the company, I mean, should always be on staff from the company, should always be on the booth. But you can have your local partner there assisting you, especially if they are expertise, and their experience and expertise is on an industry or maybe also on the exhibition industry. One of this reason, and I'm going deep into that, is the intercultural. The intercultural problem that sometimes has. So you know that it's not the same, I mean, to when you have to exhibit in India or when you have to exhibit in Spain or US or another country. So, and this is obviously what I think Larry, speaks about very well. So I think if you have somebody and a partner, in this case, the agent, I mean, apart from promoting your show, from selling your show, promoting your show, it can also be a partner you can have, or you can ask him to be on the booth with you. I mean, if you are participating in his country, and if he's there, or maybe you can invite your partners to join in that opportunity, or distributors or whatever. I mean, there are companies, many companies who have their own distributor, and either they arrange the participation or they are, attending the show when the staff of the company is there. So I think this is also very important. And what I was referring before is that you have, I mean, this also agency who are or can support you about engagement, so they can come and, and they are, they have the ability, invite people to your booth or to engage them and to qualify them. One of the most important things today, I think, is qualifying. And if you are not able to qualify, you can do that through technology. Maybe it's not enough, but when you are at the show, how can you qualify somebody who's just curious about your product or somebody who's really interested in your product? And so that's something you can use your partner, you can use an agency, you can use your staff, but then you have to provide them with the the right instructions, because sometimes I think this is important to align the staff and the team who's going to be in the show to what they have to do during the show, before, during, and after.
Right, right. What role do you think technology is going to play? I mean, of course, there's a lot of technology around today. There is a lot happening around AI. I mean, most of it is not really AI, but we can talk about that separately. Most of it is essentially decision-based trees, which I mean, have been existing for the last 40 years.
Yes, yes, true.
But basically, what is your sort of take on, because you did write a chapter on harnessing technology in event.
No, I guess today, and this is also part of what I'm talking in my coaching session, I think AI is becoming fundamental. Well, let me just tell you, not just in our professional life, also in our personal life. Somebody I know, people who are using AI, I mean, to plan their trip, their holiday trip, you know. So, I mean, this is becoming like a sort of something really usual, you know. AI, I think it's good and it serves both the organizer and the exhibitor. Yes, and the attendee, right. and the attendee and all the stakeholders, honestly. Today, I mean, I see more and more exhibition organizers are implementing AI. I also have to tell you that I read that AI is not well used by professionals, at least. I mean, there's one, I think, or two out of 10 who are using AI properly. And so I think there's still, you know, steps that we have to make. But at the same time, I think it's going to help a lot the industry, especially if you use it and you learn to use it properly. So I guess I think that you obviously, I understand there are small, also medium-sized companies who are still reluctant, you know, to adopt AI because, you know, then, I mean, they can maybe see that their employees can, you know, use it for other purposes or whatever, you know. But I think you should have an enterprise-oriented AI, you know, evolution, you know, so that everybody is aware and can use the AI, which is going to, you know, help you and, make your work more agile, you know. You can just send a newsletter. You can automate newsletter without just being there, spending 2 hours, you know, writing a newsletter. You know, maybe you just prepare it and then AI can take care of that. So I think, but we're still, I see companies are still doing very, very, they're still very, very proactively using it, and others were still a little bit lagging, you know, about AI, especially the micro and small enterprises. But there is a lot more attention and there are a lot more courses about AI today. I did some of them because I obviously, we did as a company, because we want to understand better how these, you know, dynamics work and how AI works and how we can use it better, you know, not just for sending an email, which is to me absolutely nothing, you know, but for our work, you know. So, okay, sometimes when you use AI, I also think about, you know, for example, how can AI refine my concept or my show concept, let's say, because I have an idea. Okay, let's see, is this idea a good one, or what do you think? I mean, and then you ask, and then you can understand, it can give you some inputs that you can then use for improving your work.
Right, right, of course. So what do you say, what is the future of event marketing? Where is it headed?
that's a very, very good question. I wouldn't say $100 million question, but no, event marketing, I believe in event marketing, I think it remains fundamental for everybody who wants to be and maximize their work in the exhibition industry. Okay. Event marketing Well, there are, I don't know, it's something that sometimes I see and read and have quotes like, you know, these big guys like Seth Godin and all these people, you know. And I think event marketing is actually something that we need to address the needs and the strategic approach of companies, you know, for their show participation, for their show concepts, for running a show. I think everything, I mean, is related to event marketing. Event marketing is not just for me or for you. It's for everybody who are actually professionals and business owners who want to, you know, leverage, I would say, the full potential of events or trade show to grow their visibility, their leads, and their partnerships. So I think this is something I still believe it will get and hope it will get better in the future. Right. Thanks, not just to me, because I'm just one small piece, but all the other peers and colleagues who are talking about event marketing around the world. And I think this is this industry is something which is going to be surprising, even more surprising in the future, in my opinion.
You conclude the book about, you know, recommending a few things, like, for instance, focusing on a niche.
Yes.
And then co-creating with clients.
Yes. Yes.
Leveraging agility. Just expand on them a little bit.
Okay.
Each of these
ideas.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, this the niche. The niche is something that is kind of visible today. I mean, several organizers are, you know, running niche events. Niche events, why are they important? Because they are taking place in a specific region, because they, you know, maybe organizers or you have clones also today. But niche events, verticals, that's the way we call it. I think these verticals are very important because they reach and approach a very, very specific and targeted region and an industry, right? So I see these verticals, I have seen these verticals, in my opinion today, have much success because they are specific, they can relate, you know, to a specific audience and a specific region, and they make easier for people, for attendees and exhibitors to meet, you know. So you don't need today maybe to go, apart from the big monopolies like, you know, the big giants, the big trade show giants, but you can, for example, participate in a vertical show or in a duplication of a show in a specific region, because you know that in that region you will find the right partners, the right attendees, and the right exhibitors. So niche or verticals today is something where companies are very much thinking about. And I recommended some of them to attend. I mean, these niche markets, especially if they have, a specific service or product and they want maybe, they don't want to go overseas. Also, this is important, Subbanyan, and you can easily understand because of geopolitical issues that we have around the world. So I guess that niche of verticals, and I think that and I see that companies like Informa, like Reed, or like other big company, big giants in the exhibition industry are just, you know, running these events, maybe in Europe or one in the Middle East or in the US or in Asia, maybe in Vietnam or in the Philippines, you know. So I think this is something, in my opinion, that is going to, you know, continue in the future.
So can you name a few niche events that are doing really well?
I don't remember all the niche events that I mentioned, but I can tell you that especially, for example, if you want agriculture, I mean, there are some examples in agriculture. I remember a good example in the world, for example, of music artisanship made products or made manufacturers. There are some very, very good verticals that today you can. But I think, you know, I wouldn't just speak about one or two. I think almost all industry, technology, for example. I mean, you have smart cities, for example. For example, in Barcelona, who's one of the best events ever, but you have other smart cities, maybe that they are running in other markets. They are running in Mexico, they're running in other events. So even those, they are niche markets, and those, the purpose of that is that you can have, I mean, that audience, that specific market, then they can have the right, I mean, they can find the right partners and attendees and exhibitors, of course, in that specific market. So I think almost, you know, all industry can have this niche market today. There are many, many examples, you know?
Right. Tell about some examples of co-creation with clients that you are seeing.
Co-creation is something that is happening, you know, especially with companies who want, especially companies I'm talking about participation, you know, and I think that when I say that, I think that exhibitors, I mean, and exhibitor organizers and exhibitors should be, I mean, going together. I mean, when we talk about co-creation, yeah. So the exhibitor doesn't just become an exhibitor. He's a partner and he understands, and the exhibitor understands what the needs of the exhibitor are. So then I'm talking about co-creation. So, for example, we talk with exhibitors most of the time, for example, to invite them to tell us if they want to meet specific buyers or visitors to their show, you know, and this is an advice that we provide the organizer with, you know, maybe because company X told us that they would like to see this buyer coming from, if you don't have it in your list of invites, you know, maybe it's worth adding it. So the co-creation value is to be created by the exhibitor and the exhibitor organizer, by the event planner. I mean, I think they have to work together today to maximize and to, you know, their participation, but also to make also the exhibitor organizer, life easier in a way, you know, because then, I mean, they know if, I mean, they are not targeting the right people, maybe you can tell or they can tell them if the right people, if they have the right people to invite, for example. It's not the case that everybody, I mean, is going to tell you that.
Right. Finally, you talk of preparing for unpredictable. Obviously, in 2020, we saw unpredictable in COVID, right? And that practically derailed the entire industry. Everything came to a stop. It was quite ugly for the industry, right?
Yes.
And at that point, you didn't know how long this is going to last, how long this is going to go on. It was quite crazy. How does one prepare for black swan events?
A good question again.
By definition, you can't prepare for it.
That's a good question again. And I don't want to be too pessimistic about this, you know, because I think one of the good things about the exhibition industry is, and I guess you know that, is its resilience, you know? So the exhibition industry and events, exhibition and events industry has been able to overcome the COVID, the recession, the pandemic, and also, you know, and I think it's going to be, and the internet, you know, you remember, I mean, clairvoyants, I would call them, I mean, prophetizing that, I mean, the exhibition industry would actually definitely decline with the appearance of the internet, you know, and so the resilience. And I mentioned is because of the book I read, The Black Swan, by Nicolas Nassim Taleb, you know, and I think it was very good, you know, because when you think about that, you can also imagine that, you know, anything like the COVID can happen, you know, so if something like that happens, so what we're going to do, you know, we're probably going to turn again to virtual or to hybrid, which is something, as you know, which is here to stay, because hybrid now is here to stay. So, what I say when I say that is obviously I mean that we have to be prepared, I mean, to do that. And now we have the technology that can help us. Obviously, I wouldn't really think about another COVID, you know, coming, you know. But in case we have to be prepared, we have to be collaborative enough, and we probably have to find, and again, technology is helping us a lot, to find the right means, you know, to overcome and to be resilient, you know. So I mean, that we can continue having, because we having you know, our industry progressing, in because it's something that I think, you know, you never know. It can happen and it cannot happen, hopefully. But if we do, I mean, then if it happens, then we have to be prepared. And so I think this is also goes in end with the collaboration I was telling you before about the co-creation of events and networking. I mean, this industry is now become, a big or small community, depending on the way you want to see it. But I think it's a very big community. And I think we have to help each other growing and being, you know, more visible, especially just giving the right value to those, to the exhibitor and to the stakeholders who come and participate and attend our show. So we have to do that. That's our, you know, most important objective today.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos, and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit TradeshowEngage.com. That is TradeshowEngage.com.
Marco, this was a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. And I hope that you enjoyed the conversation too.
I enjoyed the conversation. And yes, thanks again for this invite, Subhanian.
Sure.
It's a pleasure to be here and an honor, I mean, to be in your podcast and you know, with my... talking about my books. Thank you.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.